يلوم هنا سافر الرجل أنا هنا تروح وأجي كل
طبعا الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue إن شاء الله on our study of the صحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. The lives of those who paved the way for this ummah, made the role model for this ummah to walk and follow their example in our life. And today, inshallah, we'll study the life of one of the Sahaba. And this Sahabi became one of the most important Sahaba in Islamic history. And this Sahabi, his name and his background, his whole life before Islam and even after Islam was very simple. Very unassuming guy. He is the example of modesty and humbleness. And still, this man became one of the most important figures in Islam. His name was Jundub ibn Junada. Even his name, subhanAllah, Jundub يعني الجراد. Jundub means grasshopper. He's got a name that does not really command a lot of respect. Alaykum as-salam. Yet he was one of the most respectable figures in Islamic history. He was from a tribe that was not a respectable tribe. A tribe known as thieves. The tribe that their living was by raiding other tribes and attacking caravans on their way to trade. And yet this man, subhanAllah, became one of the, again, most pious, most important figures in Islam. He was from the tribe of Ghifar. And Ghifar resided in a place called the Valley of Wadzan. Valley of Wadzan was close to Mecca. And any traveling in and outside, coming into Mecca and going outside of Mecca, most of the time will have to pass by Wadzan. And this man, Jundub ibn Junada, and he was known in our Islamic history as Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. His title was Abu Dharr, and his name was Jundub ibn Junada. He was just one person of this tribe, and going about his life, and he heard that in Mecca, there is a man, and he is prophesizing, he's calling himself a prophet, and he's saying that he's got a message from God. Wa alaykum as-salam. So what Abu Dharr did is he asked his brother Unais. He said, Ya Unais, انطلق لا أبا لك إلى مكة وقف على أخبار هذا الرجل الذي يزعم أنه نبي وأنه يأتيه الوحي من السماء واسمع شيئا من قوله واحمله إليه. Abu Dharr Jundub called upon his brother Anis, and he said, Ya Unais, go to Mecca and look up the news of this man that he claims that he is a messenger. And bring me some of the things that he says. So Anis, or Unais, depends on how you read, Anis went to Mecca and he made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he heard what the Prophet said, and he heard what the Quraysh said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he went back to Ghifar. And he went to his brother Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr received his brother and asked him, what do you think of this man? What do you think of this man that claims Prophet? And he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ وَاللَّهِ رَجُلًا يَدْعُوا إِلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَقُولُ كَلَامًا مَا هُوَ بِالشَّعْرِ. He said, I saw this man and he calls to the good manners and the good behavior. And he says words that are not poetry. And Abu Dharr said to his brother, he said, وَمَاذَا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ فِيهِ. What do people say about him? He said, يَقُولُونَ أَنَّهُ سَاحِرٌ وَكَاهِنٌ وَشَاعِرٌ. He said, they say he's a sorcerer, and he is a kahin. What is a kahin?
Fortune teller.
Yeah, some type of idol. One of those fortune tellers, and sha'ir, a poet, Abu Dharr told his brother, "Is that all that you can tell me?" And he said, "This is all I know. This is all I heard about this man." He said, "Wallahi ma shafayta li ghalilan." Wallahi, you didn't satisfy my curiosity. I mean, what is this? I send you there and you tell me he's telling people to do good, and they say that he is a sorcerer. So he said, "Wala qadayta li haja." You failed your mission. This is not what I send you. "Fahal anta kafin 'iyali hatta antaliq fa anzura fi amri." He said, "Can you take care of my family so I go and check him out? I want to go and check this man out." And he said, "Yes, walakin kun min ahli Makkah ala hadar." But be careful, be watchful from the people of Mecca, because if they heard that you're asking about this prophet and you're going to hear from him, they'll beat you up and you are going to suffer, because the people of Mecca don't want you to hear anything from that man. And there was a campaign against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody that comes to Mecca, Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl will get them. And he said, "Well, listen, we have a new man. He's Majnoon." He said, "He's crazy. He's a madman. And he is staying there. So avoid him and don't listen to him." And if people insist to go and listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they get beat up. So Anis told his brother Abu Dharr, he said, "Don't be careful. Don't tell the people of Mecca that you're going to listen to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So Abu Dharr took with him a small bottle of water, qurba, and he went to Mecca. And then he went to Mecca and entered al-Haram, and he is fearful, he is anxious, and he wants to meet the Prophet, but he can't ask about the Prophet. He can't, because he knows, his brother told him, if you ask about the Prophet, you get punished. You cannot ask about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he stayed in the masjid. And the masjid was a place where the travelers would stay and people would pass by and settle. And then the people of Quraysh will come and host them. They will take them to their houses and offer them the guest rites, which was what people of Mecca did. So he was in Haram and he saw a young man, young boy. He's about 13 to 14 years old. Just a really young man coming to Al-Haram. And he saw Abu Dharr. And this man, he said, "Are you gharib? Are you a stranger?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Halumma ilayna ayyuha rajul." Come on with me, man. And he took him and he hosted him. And that young man was Ali ibn Abi Talib. But he didn't ask Abu Dharr what Abu Dharr wants. And Abu Dharr was fearful of Ali, and he didn't tell Ali what he really wants. So the next day, Ali gave him his food and mata' and everything, and he let them go. The next day, Ali saw Abu Dharr at the Haram, at the Kaaba, sitting there. He's not done. And then Ali said, "Ama ana lirajuli an ya'rifa manzila." Didn't the man know his house? I mean, you should, if you stay in town, you know where to go. He said, this is your house now. You come to us. So Abu Dharr went with Ali and he was hosted for the second night. And then the third day, Ali sees Abu Dharr in al-Haram. Abu Dharr wants somebody he wants to run into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to get somehow to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's fearful to ask. So on the third night, after Ali radiallahu anhu hosted Abu Dharr, he said, "Ala tuhaddithuni amma aqdamaka ila Mecca?" Are you going to tell me what brought you to Mecca? He felt that this man needs some help, and he was saying, "How can I help you?" Abu Dharr said, "In a'taytani mithaqan an turshidani ila ma atlub fa'alt." If you give me a promise, an oath to guide me to what I want, then I will tell you. Ali said, "You have my promise. Tell me what you want." Abu Dharr said, "قصدت مكة من أماكن بعيدة أبتغي لقاء النبي الجديد وسماع شيء مما يقول." He said, "I came from far away just to want to meet this man who is calling himself the messenger, the prophet. And I want to hear something what he says." And he, instead of being beat up, he sees the smile on the face of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, "والله إنه ما يقول إلا حقا إنه لرسول الله حقا." He said, "Wallah, he is really a prophet." Not, he said, he's claiming that he is a prophet. He said, "No, he is really a prophet." He said, "Tomorrow morning, when we get up, حيث إذا أصبحنا فاتبعني حيث سرت. Follow me from afar." Now the da'wah, this is very early. in Islam. This is very early when the Prophet ﷺ was worshipping in Dar Bani al-Arqam, and they were in secrecy. The people of Mecca knew that he was gathered with his Sahaba, with his people, in a place close to al-Safa. But they didn't really know what house it is. They didn't know the house of al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. So Ali said, follow me from afar. And if I see someone following us, I will bend down and I'm picking something up. And if you see that, then go away. Then don't follow me. So they had a secret signal between them, so he can guide them to the house of Bani al-Arqam without anybody feels what Abu Dhar wants. And Abu Dhar follows Ali. And Ali, I mean, see the Ali, how he was so trusted with the Prophet ﷺ security. And he was 13 years old, barely, at that time. And in some narrations, about 12 years old. And this young man took Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, and he took him to the Prophet ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ welcomed Abu Dhar, and Abu Dhar came into the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ, and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He said, As-salamu alayk, O Prophet of Allah. And Arabs at that time, they didn't greet each other by As-salamu alaykum. They would say good morning or good evening, Amta sabahan or Amta masa'an. And it's recorded in history that he's the first person to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this type of greeting. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. It was not a custom, a tradition in Islam to do that. And Abu Dhar was the first person to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this salam. And the Prophet said, reply to him, wa alayka salamullahi wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. Abu Dhar said, anshidni mimma taqul. Anshidni, nasheed is when you're either uttering poetry or songs. This is what nasheed is. He said, anshidni mimma taqul. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma huwa bi shi'rin fa anshidak. It's not poetry, so I will do it, I will say that to you. Walakinahu Qur'anun Kareem. It is something to be recited. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started reciting to Abu Dhar al-Qur'an al-Kareem. It is not recorded exactly which surah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, but Abu Dhar listened and listened and listened, and he finished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dhar said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka ya Muhammadun Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is only one God, and you, Muhammad, is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet smiled. It was really an easy da'wah. He gave, you know, this struggling at the beginning of da'wah to invite people. Here's a man that comes to Rasulullah from afar, and he hides to meet Rasul. He's a seeker for the Prophet. Subhanallah, the Prophet is trying hard to invite people in Mecca, and this man comes to him, wants the da'wah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him some Qur'an, and the man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very happy. And he said, Mimman anta ya akhal Arab? Where are you from, O brother of Arabs? And he said, Ana min Ghifar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and surprised, and in one narration he put his hand on his head. Subhanallah, from Ghifar? I mean, of all people in Arabia, comes from this tribe that is really just filled with people that have the poorest reputation. They are raiders and thieves and highwaymen. He said, "Min Ghifar? Are you from Ghifar?" And Abu Dhar laughed. He said, "Wallahi, from Ghifar. I'm from Ghifar. What can I do? I mean, this is where I'm from." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah yahdi man yasha." Subhanallah. Allah guides whoever He wants, Ghifar or no Ghifar. This, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give guidance to whoever He wants. So here is Abu Dhar gave the Islam, and he was, according to some narrations, one of the first ten Sahaba that came into this religion. And Abu Dhar continued his story, and he said, أَقَمْتُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَكَّةَ فَعَلَّمَنِي وَأَقْرَأَنِي الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started giving him the knowledge of Qur'an and giving him those early surah. And then he told Abu Dhar, لَا تُخْبَرْ بِإِسْلَامِكَ أَحَدًا فِي مَكَّةَ فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. Don't tell anybody in Mecca that you are a Muslim now, because I'm afraid they will kill you. He has no protection in Mecca. Now most of the Muslims, like Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah and those early Muslims and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, they came from noble families and their families have power and they can protect them. But Abu Dharr is from Ghifar. He said, if you tell people, they will kill you. Abu Dharr didn't like that. And he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي لَا أَبْرَحُ مَكَّةَ حَتَّى آتِي الْمَسْجِدْ وَأَصْرَخُ بِالدَّعْوَ الْحَقِّ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَنَيْ قُرَيْشِ Wallahi, I will go to the masjid, to the Kaaba, and I will tell Quraysh that I am a Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whatever you want to do, sakata Rasulullah, didn't tell him anything. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari went to al-masjid, and in front of Quraysh, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, who is this man calling Quraysh? They came to him. And he said, Anni ashhad, annahu la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Quraysh astonished, this, like, what are you doing? And he said, this is Abu Dharr, he said, مَا كَادَتْ كَلِمَاتِ تُلَامِسُ آذَانَ الْقَوْمِ حَتَّى ذُعِرُوا مِنْ مَجَالِسِهِمْ Once they heard, they were sitting and they stood up and they rushed to me. And they dragged Abu Dharr and they started beating him. عَلَيْكُمْ بِهَذَا الصَّابِعِ Bring this rebel, start beating him. He said, وَجَعَلُوا يَضْرِبُونَنِي لِأَمُوتِ They started beating me, not to punish me, to kill me. They started beating Abu Dharr to die. And he said, then came the Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas, of course, was not a Muslim at that time. Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. And he said, وَيْلَكُمْ What are you doing? أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا مِنْ غِفَارٍ وَقَوَافِلُكُمْ تَمُرُّوا بِهِمْ Are you going to kill this man from Ghifar and your caravans going in and out of their territory, of the valley of Waddah? If you kill this man, then Ghifar, وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ will not let any of your caravans pass by. So they stopped. They stopped not because they felt bad for Abu Dharr, but to protect their trade. So he said, and then he was passed out already. I mean, Abu Dharr from being beaten. He said, لَمَّا أَفَقْتُ When I woke up, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Prophet said, أَلَمْ أَنْهَكَ أَنْ تُعْلِنَ إِسْلَامًا Didn't I tell you not to tell people? And he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَانَتْ حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِي فَقَضَيْتُهَا It was something I just really wanted to do. It was something that is in me. I wanted to let it out. He just, because his way coming into Mecca, he felt like he had to hide. He didn't know the story then. But then he knew the Prophet and he heard that this is the haqq. This is the right thing. So why are we hiding this? And he felt the urge to tell people that La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. In one narration that he went and did it the next day. And he got beat up the next day. Another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, since you let that urge out, then go to your people. إِلْحَقْ بِقَوْمِ Go to Ghifar. وَخَبِّرْهُمْ بِمَا رَأَيْتَ وَسَمَعْتَ Tell them what you heard and what you saw. And teach them from what I taught you. وَادْعُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ And bring them to Allah. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَنْفَعُهُمْ بِكَ وَيُؤْجِرَكَ فِيهِمْ If you call them to Allah, then Allah will benefit your tribe with you and you will have their reward. فَإِذَا بَلَغَكَ أَنِّي ظَهَرْتَ فَتَعَالَ إِلَيْ But if you, when you hear that now we have the power, the Muslims then come to me. So he said, you go to Ghifar and you stay in Ghifar until you hear that Muslims are up. And Abu Dharr said, فَانْطَلَقْتُ I left Mecca and I went to Ghifar. فَلَقِينِي Anis, his brother, the first messenger he sent to Mecca. And Anis said, مَا صَنَعْتُ صَنَعْتُ أَنِّي أَسْلَمْتُ He said, what did you do? He said, Aslamt, I became a Muslim. وصدقت. And he started teaching his brother. First thing he started with his brother and Anis bin Junada became a Muslim as well. So they two people now in Ghifar. And they started calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ghifar. And then they went to her, to their mother. Their mother and they called their mother to Islam and she embraced Islam. So the family of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was the first unit to embrace Islam in Ghifar. And they went on and on and on until the entire tribe of Ghifar, those highwaymen, those thieves, they all became Muslims. That entire tribe become a Muslim tribe because of the curiosity of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. It's not known how many people they were. And then Abu Dharr stayed in his tribe until the Prophet migrated to Medina. And then the Prophet had Badr, Uhud and Al-Khandaq. after the three battles, Abu Dharr heard that now Islam, after Al-Khandaq Islam, really emerged as a power in Arabia. And this is what the Prophet told him. When you hear about us, that we are victorious, then come to me. So Abu Dharr brought his entire tribe. And the next tribe, which was called Aslam, the people of Aslam, which also got Islam and were taught by Abu Dharr. And he brought these two tribes to Al-Madinah. People of Al-Madinah woke up one morning to see huge people, and they thought they were invaded, being invaded yet by another army. And it was a huge caravan coming from Ghifar. And they got up and they said, "Who's this?" They said, "Ghifar." And he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, here is my entire tribe. And they are all Muslims. Walhamdulillah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he said, "Ghifarun ghafarallahu laha. Wa aslam salamaha Allah." This is a hadith sahih. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ghifar, may Allah forgive them. Allah forgive Ghifar. And Aslam, may Allah have peace with Aslam." Because these are just derivative of the same names, of the tribe names in Arabic. And after Abu Dharr came to Al-Madinah, from that day he decided to reside with Al-Madinah and to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we said that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari missed really the initial main battles of Islam. The battles of Abu Badr, Uhud, and Al-Khandaq, Al-Ahzab. But in the ninth year after Hijrah, there was this major expedition, Al-Ghazwa, that the Prophet ﷺ was preparing for in the year of hardship, Al-Usra. And that was Tabuk. And in Tabuk, Abu Dharr, as we said, he was a poor man. And he had a very weak camel. But Tabuk, every person that went with the Prophet in Tabuk was not a walking person. They all had to have either a horse or a camel, because it's 1,000 kilometers away from Medina. And so it is 2,000 kilometers round trip. And that's in the heat of the summer, that was not doable, walking. So only people that had a ride went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Dharr was one of the people that went with the Prophet. And what would happen on the way to Tabuk during this heat and this hardship, then some of the munafiqeen, some of the hypocrites will leave the caravan and they would go back, sneak back to Al-Madinah. And they would miss them. And the Sahaba would get up and said, "Where is so-and-so? Where is this person that was with us?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'u. إِنْ يَكُنْ بِهِ خَيْرٌ يَلْحَقُهُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَإِنْ يَكُنْ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ أَرَحَكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ." Every person that is missing, the Prophet would say, if they have good in them, then Allah will bring them to you. If they don't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved you from that person. You're better off without them. So one day they got up and no Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr wasn't there. And they came to the Prophet, "Abu Dharr is not here." And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the same sentence. If there is good in him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him to you. And if not, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has relieved you from him. And what happened to Abu Dharr is this, his only camel could not make the trip anymore. And he was just slacking and slowing with him. And he was at the end of the caravan and he just became behind the caravan, behind the expedition. And then he was way behind them. And his camel would not make it anymore. So what Abu Dharr did is he took his entire mata', his luggage, and his weaponry. I mean, this is heavy stuff in the heat of the summer. His food, his water, and he put it on his back, and he went walking behind the army. And the next morning, the Sahaba was looking in the horizon in the back, hoping that somebody would come, and they saw a man coming from afar. And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, there is somebody out there. He's trying to catch up with us." And the Prophet smiled and he said, "Kun Abu Dharr." Let him be Abu Dharr. Because Abu Dharr is not a munafiq. The Prophet ﷺ knew the hearts of his Sahaba. He said, "Let it be Abu Dharr." And then yet they waited and waited, and here is Abu Dharr coming. And when they saw Abu Dharr, the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, "Yarhamullahu Abu Dharr." May Allah have mercy on Abu Dharr. Yamshi wahda. He walks alone. Wa yamutu wahda. And he will die alone. Wa yub'athu wahda. And he will be resurrected a league on his own. And that was the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will see how that became true in Abu Dharr's life and in Abu Dharr's end of life. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was known among the Sahaba for his truthfulness. Abu Dharr was known of being politically straight but incorrect. It's today's terms. He would just tell it as it is. Abu Dharr is one of the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "ما أقلت الغبراء ولا أظلت الخضراء أصدق لهجة من أبي ذر." There is nobody that ever walked on the face of the earth or shaded himself under a tree, anybody that is living, who is more truthful in his speech than Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr, when he sees something wrong, he will say it's wrong. No matter who it is, no matter, and that caused him trouble. And we saw how, really, towards the end of his life, he suffered from that. But yet, this was something that he held as a badge of honor. This hadith that we recite at the end of time, that he is the most truthful. He has nothing to fear except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr, he said, "Ya Abu Dharr, kayfa anta idha adrakaka umara yasta'thiruna bil fayt?" What do you do if you see governors, people in commandership, that will take the money of Muslims and have it for themselves? People that would take the money of Muslims and use it for their own pleasure. Abu Dharr said, "Idhan walladhi ba'athaka bilhaq la'adribanna bisayfi. Wallahi, I will take my sword out and I will start fighting." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ala adulluka ala khayrin min dhalik." Then I tell you about something that is better than that. "Isbir hatta talqani." Be patient until you see me. Don't fight anyone. And that was a prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened is Abu Dharr lived until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he lived through the khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And he didn't see anything that would make Abu Bakr angry. And he lived through the khilafah of Umar. And he saw the justice. He saw the fairness. He saw how Umar handled the affair of the Muslims. And he saw these futuhat. And then Umar died, radiallahu anhu. Umar killed. And Uthman came to power. And Abu Dharr was with the armies that went out and did the conquest. And then he settled in Damascus. Abu Dharr was in Asham, in Dimashq. And in Dimashq there was Muawiyah. And Muawiyah, in the time of the Khilafah of Uthman, started changing the ways of Umar a little bit. He had palaces. He had fortune. He had money. And he used the money to empower the presence of Muslims in that area, and also to increase the influence of his own tribe, of the tribe of Umayyah, that is well recorded in history. And Abu Dharr al-Ghifari did not like that one bit. And what Abu Dharr al-Ghifari did is he went to Dimashq and he said, "Ya ma'ashara al-aghniya wa aswa al-fuqara." You rich people, you are the worst of poor people. You are really poor in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Bashir al-ladhina yakmizuna al-dhahaba wal-fidda wa la yunfiqunaha fi sabilillahi bimakawin min nar tukwa biha jibahuhum wa junubuhum wa zuhuruhum." He said, "Give the news, give the glad tidings for those who hold the money and store and treasure it with that this money will be their element of torture in the day of judgment and torment, and they will suffer from what they were treasuring in this dunya." And he would let the poor people know that they have rights in this money. And he would tell the poor people that, "How come you don't ask for this right? Didn't you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Inna fi al-mali haqqan siwa al-zakah,' that the poor people have rights in the money other than zakah, even though those Muslims perform their zakah." But Abu Dharr wants to give the sunnah that you cannot have poor people in a Muslim community and a Muslim society. And there are rich people in the society that have the means to help those poor people, even if they pay their zakat. And he started making trouble. And he started, Muawiyah starting being annoyed with this message that Abu Dharr was spreading in Damascus. And he sent a letter to Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. And he said, "Inna al-fitnata qad zaharat, wa inna Aba Dharr qad a'dala alay." Abu Dharr is making my life difficult here in Asham. and he's given me tribulation. So he's complaining to Al-Khalifa, to Uthman. Uthman said, this is the fitna. He said, don't make it worse to Muawiyah. Don't punish Abu Dharr. Don't try to hold up. He said, jahiz Abu Dharr. Give Abu Dharr his jihaz, his way of traveling. وَبْعَثْ مَعَهُ دَلِيلًا. And send a guide with him. وَرْفِقْ بِهِ. And be gentle with Abu Dharr and send him to me. Uthman wants to communicate with this man who's creating trouble, and he wants to hear his story. Then Abu Dharr came to Al-Madinah and he went to Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Abu Dharr, ma li ahli Sham yashkuna darbak. What's wrong with the people of Sham complaining about you, Ya Uthman? He said, Abu Dharr, la yanbaghi an yuqala malullah wa la yanbaghi lil aghniya'i an yaqtanu malan. He said, they are saying that this is the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are having this money for their own selves. And they don't say this is the money of the Muslims. This money is the rights of the poor people of Muslims. Abu Dharr, Uthman ibn Affan said to Abu Dharr, Ya Abu Dharr, عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَقْضِي مَا عَلَيَّ. I have obligations and I have duties to the Muslims. وَأَخُذْ مَا عَلَى الرَّعِيَّةِ وَلَا أُجْبِرْهُمْ عَلَى الزُّهُدْ. I take from the people what they have to give, but I cannot force people to live the way of the Sahaba, or live the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, all I can do is to take the zakah from them. And that is all I can do for. I cannot make him zuhad. I cannot let them live the life of zuhud, of modesty. And then Abu Dharr said, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي فِي الْخُرُوجِ فَإِنَّ الْمَدِينَةَ لِي لَيْسَتْ بِدَارِ. He said, would you let me then leave Medina? Because I cannot stay in Medina. And Uthman said, الْمَدِينَةَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُ الْأَشْرَارَ مِنْهَا. Where can you find a place better to live than the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do you want to leave Medina, Ya Abu Dharr? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam أَمَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا إِذَا سَلَعُوا. He said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me a sign, if they started building on the mountain of Sala', which is the mountain north of Medina, then I should leave it. So that is a sign for me to leave Medina. Then Uthman said, but عَاهِدِ الْمَدِينَ, stay, come, go back and forth to Medina, because we want you to stay with us. And Abu Dharr said, لَا حَجَّةَ لِي بِدُنْيَاكُمْ. I have nothing to do with your dunya. I'll be happy wherever I go. And Uthman said, insisted on him to come back and forth to Medina to be connected with the Sahaba. But then Abu Dharr decided to have a place called Ar-Rubdha. Ar-Rubdha is a place outside Medina in the desert, and to stay in it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wants. And then as the events of their tribulation against Uthman ibn Affan, the events of the fitna unfold, the rebels of Al-Kufa came to Abu Dharr in Ar-Rubdha. And they said, Abu Dharr, we want you to come with us, because we are going to correct the situation and to put Uthman back on the straight path. Those are the rebels that went against Uthman ibn Affan. And they saw in Abu Dharr the opposition to Uthman as they saw it. And Abu Dharr looked at them and he said, Wallahi, لو أن عثمان صلبني على أطول خشبة لسمعت وأطعت وصبرت واحتسبت ورأيت أن ذلك خيرا لي ولو سيرني ما بين الأفق والأفق لسمعت وأطعت وصبرت واحتسبت ورأيت أن ذلك خيرا لي ولو ردني إلى منزلي لسمعت وأطعت وصبرت واحتسبت ورأيت أن ذلك خيرا لي. He said, you come to me, you want me to rebel against Amir al-Mu'mineen. Wallahi, if Amir al-Mu'mineen crucified me on the longest log in Arabia, I would be patient and I would obey Amir al-Mu'mineen. If Amir al-Mu'mineen wants me to go and walk between the two horizons back and forth, I would obey Amir al-Mu'mineen. And if Amir al-Mu'mineen asked me to go back to Al-Madinah, I would go back, like Amir al-Mu'mineen would tell me. He had a critique against the way that Uthman or Muawiyah, he said, I have obedience. I have obedience toward Amir al-Mu'mineen. So those who try to put Abu Dharr as a rebel against Uthman, there is definitely evidence from history to really rebut that. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari refused to go with the rebels, and he declared his obedience to Uthman ibn Affan. And he continued to live the life of modesty and humbleness. One time, a man saw Abu Dharr. And 2 days he saw Abu Dharr with a new garment. And then the next day he saw Abu Dharr wearing his old garment that is so old and it has filled with patches and all of that. And Abu Dharr, he said, أَلَيْسَ لَكَ ثَوْبٌ غَيْرُ هَذَا? Didn't you have a new garment? I saw with you a new garment a few days ago. And Abu Dharr said, I gave it to whoever needs it more than I do. And the man said, but I think you really need it yourself. Why did you give it away? And then Abu Dharr said, Allahumma ghufran. Oh Allah, forgive me. إِنَّكَ لَمُعَظِّمٌ لِلدُّنْيَا. He said, you glorify this world. أَلَسْتَ تَرَى عَلَيَّ هَذِهِ الْبُرْدَةِ? Don't you see this garment upon me? And I have another one. He said, وَلِي أُخْرَى لِصَلَاةِ الْجُمْعَةِ. I have a good one for Salat al-Jum'ah. Because the Sahaba used to wear the best, their clothes, for the Jum'ah, for the day of Jum'ah. I said, وَلِي عَنْزَةِ. And I have a goat. أَحْلُبُهَا. وَأَتَانٌ أَرْكَبُهَا. And a she-donkey that I ride on. فَأَيُّ نِعْمَةٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ هَذِهِ. What best ni'mah? What bounty you need me to have more than this? You want me to have dunya? This is all I need. I have a donkey, a goat, and two garments. And that was all Abu Dharr al-Ghifari had in this life. One of the hadith, it's not a hadith nabawi, but it is what Abu Dharr has recited on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي بِسَبْعِ. My beloved, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recommended 7 things for me. أَمَرَنِي بِحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَالدُّنُوِّ مِنْهُمْ. He enjoined upon me to love the poor and to be close to them. وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَنْظُرَ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ دُونِي وَلَا أَنْظُرَ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقِي. He looked me to look on the people that are below me and don't put my eyes on the ones that are above me. That means don't envy. Don't look for the people that have things that you don't have. وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ لَا أَسْأَلَ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا. Don't beg anybody for anything. وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَصِلَ الرَّحِمِ. And to keep the connection with my relatives. وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقِّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرًّا. And he enjoined upon me to tell the truth, even if it's bitter, even if it's hard to tell the truth. وَأَمَرَنِي أَلَّا أَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And he told me not to fear anybody in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is don't be embarrassed to tell anybody the truth, except when you are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَرَنِي the 7th one, أَنْ أُكْثِرَ مِنْ قَوْلِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. To increase, to say a lot, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And he lived, continued to live after the death of Uthman ibn Affan. And he lived into the khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said a word about Abu Dharr. He said, لَمْ يَبْقَ الْيَوْمَ أَحَدٌ لَا يُبَالِي فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ إِلَّا أَبَا ذَرٍ. He said, nobody now on the face of the earth that tells the truth and fears nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Abu Dharr. Because during the fitna, we know every group of the Sahaba had something, some people that they wanted to keep quiet and then they would be politically correct with them, except Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr would say it like it is. He would say who's on the right and who's on the wrong. And then the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, يَمْشِي وَحْدَهُ وَيَمُوتُ وَحْدَهُ وَيُبْعَثُ وَحْدَهُ. He said he walks alone, he dies alone, and he resurrects alone. And one time he got sick in a rabdha. And his wife was the only person with him. And he was on his deathbed, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. And she started crying. And he said, فِيمَ الْبُكَاءُ وَالْمَوْتُ حَقٌّ. Why are you crying? And death is true. Death is haqq. Something's gonna hit everyone. Why are you crying? She said, لِأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ وَلَيْسَ عِنْدِي ثَوْبٌ أُكَفِّنُكَ بِهِ. You are dying, and I have nothing to, no shroud to put you in it. And how can that one woman dig a grave and put her husband in the grave? She was worried. Even if he dies, what's she gonna do? She cannot bury him. And then he smiled and he said, اطمئني, don't worry. لا تبكي فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I was with him. And we were a group of the Sahaba. And he said, لا يموتن رجلا منكم بفلات من الأرض تشهده عصابة من المؤمنين. He said, among you there will be a man that will die far away from other people. But when he dies, a group of believers will come and take care of him. Will make shahada on his death. And then he said, everyone in that gathering died already. And they died either in the town or died and they were in a place that there were many Muslims around. Except me. So I have to be the one that the Prophet ﷺ told about in this hadith. And he said, don't worry. Then the Prophet, I've not heard anything that the Prophet prophesied and it didn't happen. So you will see this is happening. And there was a prophecy and a miracle from the Prophet. As Abu Dharr died, his wife turns around and she sees a group of Muslims. And she looks and she sees Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Sahabi al-Jalil, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who are you? And she said, I'm the wife of Abu Dharr. And he just died. And they put him in a shroud and they bury him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, Wallahi, I heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he will die alone. And they buried Abu Dharr al-Ghifari in a rabza, and that was the life of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. The second Sahabi that inshallah we'll talk about today was a man that is, to just give you an introduction to his life and his knowledge, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was at night with a group of his friends and companions. And they saw another group of people. And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, مِنْ أَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ? Where are you coming from? And a man called from that group and he said, مِنَ الْفَجِّ الْعَمِيقِ. مِنَ الْفَجِّ الْعَمِيقِ. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقِ. This is in Quran. He said, we're coming from far, deep, depth of the earth. And Umar said, أَيْنَ تُرِيدُونَ? Where are you going? And he said, الْبَيْتُ الْعَتِيقِ. The old house of Allah. And Umar heard these two answers and he said, إِنَّ فِيهِمْ عَالِمًا. There is a scholar among them. These words are words of Qur'an. And then he started testing that scholar. And he said, أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَعْظَمْ. Which is the greatest surah ayah in Qur'an. And the man said, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He recited ayat al-Kursi. And Umar said, نَادِهِمْ أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَحْكَمْ. Umar is testing that scholar. And the scholar calls back. And he said, the wisest. He's asked him, which one is the wisest verse in Quran? And that man said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. The wisest verse in the Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys justice and good deeds and connecting with your relatives, and he prevents the bad deeds and fahsha and munkar. Umar is happy. The scholar is passing. And then he said, Nadi him, أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَجْمَعُ. Ask them, which Qur'an is most encompassing verse? The verse that actually tells it all. And the man replied, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. If you want a small verse that to tell you everything in this dunya, those who do an iota of a good deed, a mustard seed weight of good deed, then they will find it, and those who do bad deed, they will find it. And Umar said, which Quran is the most cause for fear? And the man answered, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا بِأَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ وَلَا يَجِدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. This is An-Nisa 123. He said, those who do the bad deeds, then they will find it and be punished with it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will find no help. And Umar said finally, to ask him, which of the Qur'an is the most cause for hope? And the man said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The most hopeful ayah in the Qur'an, O my servants that transgressed upon themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah indeed forgives all sin. He is indeed the most merciful, most forgiving. Umar heard all these answers and he looked at the group and he said, أَفِيكُمْ Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud there? And they said, نَعَمْ وَاللَّهِ, there is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And this is the scholar of Islam, the scholar of Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this man, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ رَطْبًا كَمَا نَزِلْ فَلْيَقْرَأَهُ عَلَىٰ قِرَاءَةِ ابْنُ أَمِّ عَبْدٍ. Whoever wants to hear the Qur'an, read it fresh, like it descended, revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let them read it like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, like we spoke about the unassuming beginning of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had even more modest beginning. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a shepherd. He was a servant to a man in Quraysh. His name was Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt. He was one of the noble people of Quraysh that was so much an enemy to Islam. And he was a neighbor to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was his shepherd. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was very short and very thin. And he was about 13 years old. And he was minding his sheep outside Mecca. And then he saw two men coming towards him. And one man asked him, he said, "Can I milk this one of these sheep and drink from the milk that you're, from the sheep that you're minding?" And this boy said, "La af'al, al-ghanam laysat li, wa ana 'alayha mu'taman." "No, I will not let you milk this sheep. It's a trust. It is a trust from Uqba. He is a shepherd for Uqba." And he said, the man didn't get upset. He smiled. And then he asked me, he said, "Well, show me a sheep that doesn't give milk. A sheep that is hasn't reached the age where actually she will give any milk." So I gave him a sheep that doesn't milk. And I saw this man sitting by the sheep and he said, "Bismillah." And I saw the sheep filled with milk and he started milking in a bowl. And then him and his friend drank from that bowl. And they gave me milk and I drank from its real milk. This is a sheep that does not give milk. And he said, "Wallahi, I have seen something so wondrous." So I sat with this man, this blessed man. And he said, "Allimni min hadha." "Teach me from what you said. What did you say to make this sheep milk?" And then the man looked at me and smiled and he said, "Innaka ghulamun muallam." "You are a learned boy. You are a boy of learning." And that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the first encounter between Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the 13-year-old shepherd outside Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "And then I could not leave the Prophet. And I would follow him everywhere. And I accepted Islam very young." Listen to the young people, you know, here. He could not leave the Prophet anywhere. And he would be tortured by Abu Uqba. And he would suffer the persecution. He's a small person. I mean, the way he was described, one time Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was on a palm tree and he was climbing, so his garment was up and the people saw his legs. And they started laughing because he was so tiny. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at them and said, "You laugh from the legs of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud because they're so small? Wallahi innahuma athqalu fil mizani min jabal Uhud." He said, those small legs that you see, they're heavier in the scale of Allah than the mountain of Uhud. But he was a small man and he would follow the Prophet ﷺ like a shadow. He would be at the door of the Prophet ﷺ ready for the water, for the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ when the Prophet wakes up. When the Prophet wants to go into a place, he would take his shoes off and he would put his shoes back on. And he would take his miswak, his siwak, and he would take his cane of the Prophet. He just followed the Prophet and served the Prophet. He was one of the first servants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him Sahib al-Sir. He would trust Abdullah ibn Mas'ud with his secrets. So he was a secretary in a way for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the things that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did, and this small man, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the Sahaba in Mecca, and there were few Sahaba, and they were mustad'afin in the secret call. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who can give Quraysh, let Quraysh hear some of the Quran? Who can give Quraysh some words that let them hear some of these Quran?" He's waiting for some of the strong Sahaba to jump up and say, "Well, I'll just go do this challenge." I mean, he's going to beat up. There's no doubt about this. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the first to come up. He said, "I will do it. I will go tell Quraysh about the Quran." And the Sahaba said, no, we didn't mean that. إِنَّمَا نُرِيدُ رَجُلًا لَهُ عَشِيرًا. We want something that has some strength and some people to protect him. So give the Quran. He said, "La wallahi, I will do it. Da'uni. Let me, I will do it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَحْمِينِي. Allah will protect me. So this small shepherd goes to Al-Ka'bah, and يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ. Quraysh gathers. And he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. And he started reciting الرحمن. And Quraysh said, تبا لك. What are you doing? Are you went crazy. And he started beating him and beating him until he swelled up. I mean, this is a poor, weak person, young person that got beat up by Abu Jahl, by Uqba, by Umayyah, by these, you know, people of Quraysh. And he was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bleeding and swollen. And the Prophet and the Sahaba said, هَذَا الَّذِي خَشِينَ عَلَيْكَ. This is what we were afraid of. You were insisting on doing this. And he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ الْأَهْوَنَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهُمُ الْآنِ. He said, وَاللَّهِ they are now are so little in my eyes. They are so easy now to challenge. I used to fear them more before I got beat up than I fear them now. He said, I have no fear from them. وَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَأُغَادِيَنَّهُمْ بِمِثْلِهَا غَدًا. And if you want me, I'll go tomorrow and do the same thing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا حسبك أسمعتهم ما يكرهون. No, enough. You made them hear what they hate to hear. And the first person to announce Quran after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. So he is awwal man jahar bil Quran al Kareem. In Badr, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has a little story after Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Mu'awad ibn Afra got Abu Jahl, and they hit Abu Jahl, and he was dying on the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after the battle was over, مَنْ يَنْظُرْ مَا صَنَعْ أَبُو جَهْلِ. Who can look up Abu Jahl and see what happened to him? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud found Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl was a big guy. I mean, his neck was described that like you cannot really hold his neck with your hands. And he was just a big man. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is that man that we described that was so tiny. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, he put his foot on Abu Jahl and he said, هَلْ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهُ. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in your place, O enemy of Allah? And Abu Jahl said, أَخْبِرْنِي لِمَنِ الدَّائِرَ الْيَوْمِ. Tell me who won. Who won the battle? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Allah wa Rasuluh, Allah and his messenger. And he got on top of Abu Jahl and he got the sword to cut the neck of Abu Jahl and finish him off. And Abu Jahl, with all his arrogance, he said, لَقَدْ اَرْتَقَيْتَ مُرْتَقًا صَعْبًا يَا رُوَيْعِيَّ الْغَنَمِ. Oh, you small shepherd, you got up on a big mountain. He's meaning himself. He says, this is difficult for you to get up there. And he said, وَاللَّهِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهُ. You are the one that is defeated, O enemy of Allah. And he got his neck and he finished Abu Jahl off. And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and brought him to where the body of Abu Jahl. And he said, is this Abu Jahl? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Wallahi, this is Abu Jahl. And the Prophet ﷺ said that famous, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi alladhi sadaqa wa'dah, wa nasara abdah, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdah. Allahu Akbar, hadha fir'aunu hadihi al-umma. This is the Pharaoh of this ummah. This is Abu Jahl. And that was the story of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Badr. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the authority on Quran, undisputed. Of all the Sahaba, if you are to ask about who is the authority on Quran, in tafsir, in recitation, he was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the shepherd of Mecca, this young man. And he, this story was authenticated from Umar ibn Khattab. Umar was in Arafah, and a man came to him, and he said, in Al-Kufa, and this is after in the Khilafah of Umar. He said, in Al-Kufa there is a man. تَرَكْتُ بِهَا رَجُلًا يُمْلِي الْمَصَاحِفَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ قَلْبِهِ. There is a man in Al-Kufa who is just saying the Mus'haf and people are writing after him. Umar got so angry, that got swollen and red in anger. How can somebody dare? Just the Mus'haf has to be, you know, in the time of Umar, it was the time when a Mus'haf has to be authenticated. And you cannot, not anybody can just recite the Quran. It has to be taken from the masahif, from the papers, from the suhuf. And he said, man huwa wayhak, tell me who he is. And they said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then he calmed down. said Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, Wallahi ma baqiya ahad min an-nas ahaq bi hadha al-amr min. He is the only one that is left that can do this. He's the only one that can actually, he's an authority on Mus'haf, that he can say it just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And he said, let me tell you why. And this is the hadith from Umar. He said, one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Abu Bakr and I was with him, with them. And then we went to al-masjid. And we found a man in the masjid who was making the salah and reading the Qur'an. And he is reciting the Qur'an so beautifully. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr and Umar and he said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ, this is the hadith, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ رَطْبًا كَمَا نَزِلْ فَلْيَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى قِرَاءَةِ ابْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. Whoever wants to hear the Qur'an the way it was revealed, let him hear Ibn Umm Abd, which is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud finished the salah and started, he didn't see the Prophet or Abu Bakr or Umar. And he raises his hand and he's making dua. And everything he will make dua, the Prophet said, سَلْ تُعْطَى. You ask and you will receive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making ta'meen on the dua of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then he made ta'meen until Abdullah ibn Mas'ud finished his entire dua. And then Abu Umar said, the next morning I ran to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to tell him that everything you asked for last night after your qiyam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did your ameen for. So you were gonna get it. And then I saw Abu Bakr already telling him that. Wallahi ma sabaqtu Abu Bakr ila khairin illa sabaqani ilay. I've never competed with Abu Bakr for everything, anything, unless he would defeat me, he would beat me to it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Wallahi, الذي لا إله غيره ما نزلت آية من كتاب الله إلا وأنا أعلم أين نزلت وفيما نزلت ولو أعلم أن أحدا أعلم مني بكتاب الله لأتيته. He said, I know every single verse, where it was revealed and why it was revealed. And if I know anyone on the face of the earth that know more about the Quran than I would do, I would go to him to finish his knowledge. And then he said, أخذت عن فم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 70 سورة لا ينازعني فيها أحد. I took from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 70 surah. Nobody can dispute it with me. He had the authority on these 70 surah. That was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the authority on Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said about Umar ibn al-Khattab, كان إسلامه فتحا وهجرته نصرا وإمارته رحمة. He respected Umar ibn al-Khattab and he said, the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab was a conquest to Muslims. And the immigration of Umar ibn al-Khattab was a victory to Muslim. And his khilafah, his governmentship to Muslim was a mercy to Islam. And he was known of his wisdom. And one time he said, one of the things that are narrated upon Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, خير الغنى غنى النفس. The best of richness is to be content. To have richness and to be content. To not to want anything that you don't have. وخير الزاد التقوى. And the best supplement is taqwa. The best thing that you can have is taqwa. وشر العمى. The worst of blindness, عمى القلب. The blindness of the heart. وأعظم الخطايا. The worst of sins, الكذب. Lying. Lying is the worst of sins. وَشَرُّ الْمَكَاسِبِ الْرِبَى. The worst earning is riba. The worst money that can come to anyone is the money that is coming from usury. وَشَرُّ الْمَأْكَلِ الْيَتِيمِ. The worst thing that you eat is the money of the orphan. Don't take anything from the rights of the orphan. وَمَنْ يَعْفُ يَعْفُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Those who forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرْ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And those who forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud lived all the way. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud lived into the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan, and in that he became sick during the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan. And Al-Khalifa Uthman ibn Affan came to visit him in his illness and his sickness. And he said, مَا تَشْتَكِي? What is your pain? What is your complaint? What is hurting you? And he said, ذُنُوبِي. My sins is what really hurting me. And he said, فَمَا تَشْتَهِي? So what do you want? And he said, رَحْمَةُ رَبِّي. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Uthman looked at him and he said, أَلَا أَمُرُ لَكَ بِعَطَائِكَ الذي امتنعت عن أخذه سنين. Can I give you your salary, your money? Because Uthman had salary for the Sahaba that you haven't taken for years. And Ibn Mas'ud said, لا حاجة لي به. I don't need it now. I mean, he's on his deathbed. And he said, يكون لبناتك من بعدك. It will be for your daughters after you. Daughters have no support. And he said, أتخشى على بناتي الفقر. You are fearful that my daughters will be poor after me. إني أمرتهن أن يقرأن كل ليلة سورة الواقعة. He said, I gave him this recommendation that every night they should recite سورة الواقعة. وإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, من قرأ الواقعة في كل ليلة لم تصبه فاقة أبدا. Those who recite the waqi'ah every night, they will never be poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their sustenance. He said, this is what I left to my daughters, Surat al-Waqi'ah. Every night, if they recite Surat al-Waqi'ah, they don't need the salary from Uthman ibn Affan. And in that night, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud died. His only wish, of the wish of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the only wish that he said he ever wanted, he said, one night in Tabuk, I saw a noise at night. And I ran outside and I saw a hole in the ground. People are digging a grave. And that dead man was Abdullah ibn Bujadain al-Muzani. Abdullah ibn Bujadain, he died during the expedition of Tabuk. And said, I looked in the grave and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside the grave. And the people that are preparing the body was Abu Bakr and Umar. So the Prophet received the body from Abu Bakr and Umar and laid Abdullah ibn al-Bujadain in his grave. And then he looked at him and he said, Allahumma inni amsantu alayhi radiyan farda'an. Allahumma, I have pleasure. I please with Abdullah, so be pleased with him. And they buried him. He said, my only wish, I was the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would bury. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was buried by Uthman ibn Affan and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam رضي الله عنهم, and he is buried in Al-Baqiyya, in Madafin al-Madina rahimahullah, and his death was, according to most people, on the 32nd year after Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us the way of these people, to learn the knowledge of Quran, the Quran that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud lived by and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud taught. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you are the ones who learn the Qur'an and teach it to others, inshallah. And we live the life of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, where we say the truth and follow the truth and live in humbleness and live in the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum jami'an, ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Yes, brother. Ali radiyallahu anhu.
And, okay, who buried him, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari?
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. No, Afwan, yes, he died during the Khilafah of Uthman.
Right.
Yeah.
Who?
Abu Dharr al-Ghifari died also during the Khilafah. Actually, in one book it says during the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But then this conflict, there is some conflict there, because the other one says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud died during the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan, and that is most likely the truth. But it is well known that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is the one that buried Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So most likely that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari died during the Khilafah of Uthman, although in that one reference it says that he died during the Khilafah of Ali. There is always some, you know, small conflict there, subhanAllah. But it's really good attention. I mean, he's not one of the 10 or one of the 6. The 10 are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. So he's not one of the 10. He's not one of the 10. And the 6 that are, left after Umar radiallahu anhu established, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Talha, Uthman, and Ali. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was not one of them. Yeah. Well, just a reminder, this is good. Yeah. Wa iyyakum, Jazakallah. Yeah. So inshallah, this is time for iqama. Somebody made the adhan or...